Hello, and thank you for listening to the Farcom Podcast. Looking at the NSU battle against Eastern Illinois, do appreciate you listening each and every episode. This is the 55th episode of the podcast. I want to touch on soccer and volleyball really quickly. Soccer right now kind of finds themselves in the middle of the pack. Haven't played poorly by any stretch of the imagination, but unfortunately, in the way soccer just tends to be, we've dominated time and possession, really dominated and controlled the ball. Unfortunately, we just can't get the ball to go in, whereas our opponents have unfortunately found the goal. It happens, but something that we'll definitely, you know, have to address going forward as the season goes on. I'm still high on them, and I still believe that at the end of the season, we will be at the top and we'll be fighting in the conference tournament for a chance to go to the NCAA tournament. And with the way the defenses play and the way we control the ball, I think it will help. They will be playing up against Lamar, and that'll be Friday at 7 p.m. And then Sunday, we'll be hosting Nichols. They end up having a loss to Houston Christian last Friday and drew with McNeese, both those 0-1 and 1-1. And I think I do like about it, even though we've had some struggles, defensively, we don't give up a lot of goals at all. In fact, Lamar is the only team in conference to score more than one goal against us. So when you look at the fact that defense has been playing well, we aren't allowing a lot of goals, I do believe in the old adage of defense winning championships, and I do believe that'll hold up here. Volleyball-wise, they're doing very well this season. They'll be traveling to Nicholls State University. That will be the long lone match this week, and that game will come on Thursday. They're coming off of a kind of rough week last week, losing to A&M Corpus Christi 3-2 and Houston Christian 3-1. Of course, Houston Christian undefeated in conference. They right now look to be head and shoulders above everybody. Final stretch coming up, though, for volleyball. They're going to have to, I think, keep playing as they are. Consistency has been the only thing I think really lacking, but real pleased with the volleyball program as well. So going to be another real good week for Northwestern Athletics. Going to talk about the Eastern Illinois game, but first a quick word from our sponsor. Demons this weekend will head off to Charleston, Illinois. Beautiful campus to take on Eastern Illinois University O'Brien Field, which is a really small but kind of quirky stadium in that if you look at Google Earth, you can't even tell there's a visiting bleacher right away because it's so far removed from the field. There's a track surrounding the football field and the home bleachers on one side of it. Very nice size bleachers, but while not horribly far away, it's still a lot further away than most stadiums. Then you look at the visiting side, though, you have the track, a little bit of land, then you've got two long jump runways, then a little bit more land, then a fence, then the visiting bleachers, which aren't very big. So it's kind of, when you look at, again, when you look at Google Earth, you don't really see that those visiting bleachers are there. They're not very big. But a very nice stadium, but kind of quirky. In fact, when you watch it on TV, you don't really see the crowd at all because they are so far removed from the field. Maybe a little bit of adjustment, just the atmosphere for the Demons, but I think it shouldn't be anything too jarring for the Northwestern football team. Eastern Illinois, you know, they're a solid program. They're not a world beater by any stretch, but solid program and a solid team. Former home of Jimmy Garoppolo, quarterback of the 49ers. And if you look at Eastern Illinois, we'll start off looking at them offensively, and they like to run shotgun, really heavy sets, normally two or three wide receivers. Reminds me a lot of what you're seeing in the NFL from the LA Rams, from the San Francisco 49ers, from Cincinnati Bengals. You know, you look at those teams, that whole coaching tree, which is related to each other, it's that very similar set where you have that shotgun, you've got pretty much everyone up on the line kind of compacted, and you either have two wide receiver strong side, one to the weak side, or you just have two singles. And what they like to do is just kind of do quick hitters, do a lot of just quick passing routes, and just kind of open up your defense, get you where you're kind of wondering if the halfback's coming out of the backfield for pass, which they do very, very often, where the halfback will check down into a block and then fade off, peel off from that block, get into the flats, or go out in the middle of the field to kind of catch you in the zone, catch your linebackers off guard. So it does keep you honest. I like the way the offense is run. It's a very pro-style offense being used, and they are led by in that offense by Jonah O'Brien, who, good quarterback. He's thrown for 560 yards this year, 6 touchdowns, 6 interceptions. One thing I liked a lot about him when you watched is he's got a very, very good arm and very accurate. There's a couple of passes Steers throwing 35, 40 yards down the field, and those things are absolute bullets. Found their way into the wide receivers, which are led by Justin Thomas and Nile Hill, both very solid wide receivers. They can go up and get the ball. They're physical. Got a decent amount of speed, so I like the way those receivers play the game. Guys that really impressed me coming out of the backfield, Marquise Pierre and Jael Benefield, two running backs. Benefield, they use him a lot receiving the ball, where he'll run a little bit, he'll catch a little bit. Very versatile athlete, very, very fast. He comes out the backfield kind of like a rocket. Other guy, Marquise Pierre, who has 43 rushes for 197. Again, another very fast back, and which is what they like to do. They like to get that speed out of the backfield, and the goal of that, what they're doing, is to try and get a linebacker on them where, you know, unlike a corner, you're not going to have that much speed. Hopefully get them on an island where you can get the ball to either Benefield or Pierre. They'll catch it. They'll outrun your linebackers and take it for a very solid game. So, again, nothing world-beating on the offense, but something I think the Demons are going to have to stay at home and definitely watch out for those matchups and those rub routes where they'll try and get our linebackers on an island with their backs. And one guy that definitely does need to be mentioned when you talk about their offense is really special teams. And as their punter, Trey Wilhoit, he averages 45 yards per punt, and he can flip the field very, very well. So if you allow them to get 2 or 3 first downs, he'll definitely pin you deep almost every time. So you want to make sure that you force them into some 3 and outs. Don't give them 2 or 3 first downs, because they'll have you working out of the shadow of your own end zone most of the game, which is not good. If there is a positive against this offense, is their line. They like to collapse a lot. They do a lot of pass protection. Their quarterback, you know, Joan O'Brien, really good at stepping up into the pocket. He likes to step up in the pocket almost every play. He's not much of a threat to scramble, not exceptionally fast. Again, it's that traditional pro style. If there's a positive, though, from this, is their line did collapse a lot of times. Joan O'Brien has been sacked 13 times already, so I think there is some success for us going up against that offensive line. They do have a lot of breakdowns, and the thing I liked is watching against UT Chattanooga in that game and watching up against Northern Illinois is both of those teams were able to get pressure on a quarterback just using 3 and 4 man sets, not even blitzing, which is positive to see. If we can get our line pressuring their quarterback and allow our linebacking core to just kind of stay at home, I think we're going to have a lot of success. Now, defensively, they like to use their linebackers blitzing off the edges. They use a lot of multiple fronts, led by a guy named Colin Bohanic, who's linebacker number 45. He's kind of their emotional leader. You see him being the guy barking out directions on the defense, kind of gets everyone up. Really good guy. 3.5 tackles for loss, 34 total. Just the absolute key player on their defensive side. He's going to clean up anything you have. Like I said, a lot of times they're blitzing him in, but he is smart enough that while blitzing, if you are running the ball, he seems to have this radar where he knows exactly the hole to hit, and he'll clean up the running backs coming out the backfield real easy. He's a guy that's, again, extremely versatile. I expect to see him in the NFL one day. Just an absolute great player. Another guy that joins him is Elijah Tolbert with 3 interceptions on the year. He's another linebacker. Defensively, their line's average. They're not world beaters, but they're not horrible as well. If you have they like to do a lot of stunts on defense, so our offensive line and linebackers are going to have to make sure they're looking, where's the pressure coming from, make sure they pick it up. If they do that, their defensive line isn't world beaters. There's no one on that line. It's just going to eat you up all day. But their linebacking core is phenomenal. Cornerback, secondary, I didn't find they were horrible, but at the same time, they were not great. You can get some separation on them. You can get some holes in their coverage and holes in their zone. They played a lot of zone defense from what I watched. So there is a possibility there to throw a lot of underneath balls, catch them kind of waiting on it. And you could just dink and dunk it down the field on them. The big thing to watch so far, though, is those linebacking core. They're very, very fast. They're going to blitz in a lot. So against that offense, you've got to get the ball out very, very quickly. Overall, though, I think this is a very good chance for the Demons to pick up a victory. It's not going to be easy by any stretch. They're better than Lamar, I would say. At this point, they're probably better than Nichols. So it's a team, while I think we do have a, you know, we can beat them, it's going to take a good effort from us. I like the fact we're riding high. I like where this game shows up on our schedule. I think it's a perfect time for a long road trip. It's going to be a good test for the Demons. You know, you've had a little bit of success the first time in 15 years we've had success like this. First time 15 years on top of a conference. You know, we made ESPN. We're doing a great job. Now it's, you know, putting it all together, keeping that momentum going, which is not always easy. And now building this to where we can become contenders in the Southland Conference, and we show people this wasn't just a fluke start. For the game, my three keys for it is, first off, Zach Clement. We have got to get him rolling, got to get him out, let him get the ball out quickly. Zach Clement's going to have to do what he's been doing, and I'm confident that Zach Clement, despite only starting two games so far, has found himself in the top four of the passing leaders in the Southland Conference, and he's doing it without having to pad his stats like some other teams we won't mention. Second thing we're going to need to do is our running backs. We're going to have to get them going. I like the way we've been playing. I thought our running attack was a lot better against Nichols, but I think that's going to have to keep improving. Lacey is a person I think has really stepped up big time. Going to have to let him get more touches. I think we're going to have to use that to kind of keep their linebackers honest. Because again, they like to blitz in a lot. If you can get the running backs more involved, I think it's really going to help us. And my third key to the game is going to be Eddie Godina and special teams. You know, we're going to have to make sure that we pin them deep. The times they do stop us, make sure we make them work the whole field. While their offense does have a lot of success, their offense does have some weapons, they've also been inconsistent throughout the year. So I think if we can pin them deep, I think it'll work really well for us. I think they'll drive the ball a little bit on us. I think they're going to get their yards, but I don't see it being a thing where they're going to just run up and down the field on us. So, again, Zach Clement has to do his thing. Running backs have got to get more touches, be more involved to keep those linebackers back. And a third thing is special teams, flipping the field, make sure we get a couple of first downs and drive it. It's going to be a fun game. Going to be interesting. Looking forward to it. And before we finish off this episode, just going to kind of recap the rest of the games in the Southland Conference. Going to be an intriguing weekend around the Southland Conference. The big game I'm looking at right now is Texas A&M Commerce going into Southeastern Louisiana. That game, I think, is going to be a real fun one to watch. Commerce has had a lot of success. I think they're doing better than a lot of people anticipated their first year of FCS football. They've been a very solid program so far, and played Sam Houston very close, played Tennessee Tech very close, both two solid ball clubs. But now they're going up against the conference leader in Southeastern Louisiana. And I know record-wise we're technically above them, but they do have that win over UIW. So de facto, I will have to put them as the conference leaders. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Commerce shakes up against them. And it wouldn't surprise me if this is a lot closer game than many people think it will be. You know, elsewhere around the conference, another intriguing matchup is Nickel State will be traveling to Houston Christian, the former Houston Baptist. And Houston Baptist, I think they're improving. The Huskies look better than they have last year to take on Nichols now. So I think it'll be real interesting to see if they can keep their momentum up. And if they can get a win, you can create a really interesting scenario where your top three teams will be Southeastern, then Northwestern State, and Houston Christian, which absolutely nobody would have predicted early in the season. But yeah, I think the Huskies have improved. So I'm real excited to see how they look up against the Colonels. I think the Colonels, again, they're better than their record shows, and I think the Colonels will take out some people before the season's over. Will that start with Houston Christian remains to be seen. And the last game is Lamar will be taking on UIW. I don't anticipate this one being very close, but again, you never know what happens any given Saturday, especially in the Southland. UIW, they do like to kind of pad their stats at the end of the game, so it'll be interesting to see what that final tally ends up. Going to be a real, real fun week of Southland football. Of course, big thing I'm interested in is how the Demons handle success. It's been a long time since we've had this. You know, the last 15 years or so, most of the press about the Demons has been of the negative variety. And now, you look at this past week, we were on SportsCenter on the Bad Beats segment. We've gotten Zach Clements gotten a lot of praise. We've gotten, you know, views on national sports shows. You know, we actually had, you know, Northwestern highlights and the onside kick being shown on, you know, ESPN SportsCenter, national TV. We've had a lot of national pundits give the Demons credit. Somebody voted us in the top 25 poll. We got one vote in the top 25 poll, which is really interesting. You've got that lot of momentum being built up. I've seen a lot of people around Natchitoches that, you know, I'm still friends with on social media that have posted about the Demons. You're seeing a lot of really positive vibes going in. And it's just going to be the big challenge now is keeping up that momentum. It's not kind of relaxing and thinking, oh man, we've made it, but to keep that momentum going, to work hard, to, you know, build upon what we've already got. And that's going to remain to be seen, but I really do like where the Demons are at. I think there's a wave of positivity, so going to be a lot of fun. I'm on a sad note that I want to touch on before ending this episode is to give condolences and prayers out to the family of Ahmad Willis, former football player at Northwestern State, who tragically passed away this past week. A really good guy, had some great memories, was involved in that Demon upset win at Texas Christian, but more importantly, was just a really good guy, a good family man. He's a guy I'd met a bunch of times, talked to a bunch of times when I was an athlete at Northwestern, and just a real pleasurable guy to be around, and definitely a tough loss for the Demon family. So I want to send out prayers and condolences to his family, as I know they're hurting right now. Thank you for listening to this episode. Looking forward to the game this weekend at Eastern Illinois. Hope everyone has a very safe week. If you can, go support all the athletic teams in competition, volleyball, soccer, and football. Obviously, football is going to be a long trip, but anyone going out to Illinois, please have safe travels. Basketball will be starting up very, very soon, so look forward to covering them and looking at basketball and what they bring to the table. I think both men's and women's teams are primed to have really good seasons this year. Thank you for listening to the episode. As always, if you do want to contact me, you may do so on Twitter at Farcom Podcast or email me farcompodcast@yahoo.com. Appreciate you for listening, taking the time out of your day to listen. Have a great week, and as always, Farcom Demons.